Okay, welcome back. How are things in Ireland, Father Kramer, and welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back, and as has been the situation for quite some time, Ireland is falling apart.
I've read. Hard to believe what I read. It's bad.
What I find particularly interesting, though, is the developments in the church at the present
time. Now, by the way, I have, Mark, if you're listening, I have your question for Father Kramer. I'll bring that up later on. And if you have your group wanting to hear it, the archive will, of course, be under his name on the left-hand side of the homepage. So I have a question for you later on, Father Kramer. All right. Yeah. Let's bring us up to date on the hijinks or the lowjinks at the Vatican. What the hell's going on there?
Just about a month ago, there was a report in an Italian newspaper. It's called Il Giornale d'Italia, the newspaper of Italy. I believe that's a weekly newspaper. It's been around for a long time. 50 years ago in Rome, I would read that paper. So it's not... it's not just something that came out recently.
Got it.
And I would have to judge that this is an interesting psyop that has come out from Bergoglio land. The report was this. The article in the paper said that after Easter, there will be a document promulgated by the Vatican. That's going to bring about a complete revolution in religion. It's going to basically institute the idea of nature worship, that God and the universe are one and the same thing. That the voice of the voice of God, the word of God, is going to be understood as something coming through nature.
Exactly, and as you've been foretelling for a long time on this program, that was their plan.
Exactly. The Bergoglian religion, exactly as it is, as I have described in my two volumes, that this is going to be promulgated just after Easter, like probably next Monday, according to the report. I say this is a psyop. Uh-huh. This is certainly a psyop. It is not simple disinformation. It is a psyop.
Got it.
What I think they're doing is this. The revolution in religious affairs coming out of the Vatican is something that is piece by piece. It is being implemented, is being released piece by piece. It is not all in one shot, because they don't want to provoke a huge rebellion among faithful Catholics against the Vatican. They're trying to give us the frog treatment, turn up the heat little by little. And this has been going on for a long time, when they're expecting Bergoglio's crew to finally make a clean break with not just with Catholicism, but with Christianity as such.
So they're going to take out the axe and do some serious chopping. They're not going to play games. Gradual incrementalism now is passing us by, and they're moving for the main event. Is that what we're hearing here?
Well, what they're doing, that's coming later on, but it's not coming. I don't think it's coming now.
Okay.
I think the whole scope of this psyop is that on this coming Monday, there will be a document, and it will be making some shocking change in what is historically, for the last 2,000 years, been considered to be essential to Catholicism. But it will be done in such a way that it won't appear to be that big of a deal as what was foretold, what was predicted in that newspaper article that came out about a month ago. So the people will say, well, it wasn't that bad after all, and that this is disinformation, and that Bergoglio's regime is not really quite that bad. But the changes, there's going to be some good stuff. There's going to be some good stuff in there, and there's going to be the bad stuff. But the bad stuff is going to be bad enough. But it's going to be couched in this camouflage this decent sounding stuff that's going to be mixed in with it. So it won't sound quite so bad as it really is.
This is your psyop right there. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. This is what they've been doing. This is what they've been doing for the last 10 years at the Vatican. So that's their track record. So I'm not surprised that they're going to do this again. But the whole idea is to discredit the idea in the minds of the people that they have this radical agenda to revolutionize religion along the lines of the United Nations Agenda 2030. All this nature worship, the idea that the authority of God in sacred scripture through the authority of the church, that the word of God spoken through the prophets and through the apostles is now going to be interpreted through the lens of science. Well, that is exactly what Bergoglio intends to do. And one has to only look at the document that he came out with at the end of the synod. At the end of the synod, as I mentioned in the previous program.
Yeah.
Ad promovendam theologiam was the name of the title of the document. On promoting theology. And Bergoglio proposed the idea of not just completely changing our approach to theology, but rethinking of all thought.
And what a humble and modest effort, huh? Rethinking all thought. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Francis the Humble is the one who's coming out with this. With this revolutionary agenda. And it would rethink theology through view all of the doctrine of the Catholic faith, the interpretation of Scripture, and everything will be just be through the seen through the lens of science, which is, of course, human science, our corrupted prostituted science, perverted science, which is in service of the powers that be, the financial elite who are behind this agenda to destroy religion as we know it and replace the worship of God with the worship of the universe, with the worship of nature.
Wow. All right, and you think this may happen Monday. Is there going to be obviously there'll be some title for this pronouncement or this decree. I don't know how it's going to be couched. This is bad.
I don't know what the name of the title of the document will be, but there is something definitely expected to come out on Monday.
Okay, Pope Francis, the stealth Bolshevik. He's not so stealthy, actually. This is Bergoglio the Bolshevik. There we go. This is not good. Not good. I don't know if there's enough, we won't know until it's released, enough in there to incite a rebellion or fuel those who are realizing that they've been taken and they've got to fight back. There has to be a revolt or the church is lost. And I don't know if there'll be enough in this to do it. This is going to be very interesting to see how they're going to move.
I can predict already there will be a revolt, but it will not be a big enough revolt to turn back the tide of the Bergoglian revolution. But what it will be, what it will succeed in doing, is making a clear line of demarcation, a split between what is the authentic a Catholic Church of all time, and the new nature worshiping, United Nations phony counterfeit Church of Bergoglio.
But the 1.2 billion Catholics around the world are going to be watched very carefully by you and others So see how they absorb this kind of a massive surgical procedure, even if it is a psyop. Francis the Fraud, this guy is something else. All right, carry on. I'm all ears. This is very interesting.
I am certain in my mind that this is a psyop, but it's the kind of psyop that is not pure disinformation, because it does set forth what is the true agenda, the perverse agenda of Bergoglio's Vatican. Well, and that by the time the Synod is over, they will implement what is set forth in that supposedly leaked document that was circulating around the religious orders about this revolutionary document that's supposed to be coming out on Monday.
All right, well, what they do, what these are called in politics, obviously, are trial balloons. They're going to do this, and they're going to gauge and measure the response, the reaction. That's the psyop aspect of this, I'm sure. This is going to be a big one. This is going to be everything you've been forecasting for a long time here, this nature worship thing. Wow.
So it is going to be very interesting to see just how far they go. Mm-hmm.
They go, yeah.
On Monday with this document that's coming out, because what is coming out is expected to be bad enough, but it's not going to be, in my view, is not going mm-hmm. to be quite as bad as what was predicted in that newspaper article that appeared just about a month ago.
Have they pulled back a little bit, perhaps because of some of the work you are doing? And others, Archbishop Vigano is talking, you're talking, your voice here is as a worldwide audience, and I'm wondering if they have amended their plans a little bit accordingly. I wonder. We'll see. Father Kramer, you are, along with Archbishop Vigano, you are the voices of the resistance, as far as I can tell, on this planet. And I'm sure they're paying very close attention.
Yes. They have had to slow down for quite a few years. They wanted to accelerate this revolution already for some years. But they were afraid of the backlash that would be unleashed against them. It would destroy their revolution if there was a reaction that was so strong that it would neutralize it.
Got it. I think that's a fair and accurate assessment. The whole idea of doing something this radical, and it is radical, is chopping the legs out from under 2,000 years of faith, guidance, worship, all the key elements are there of the church. Is really staggering, if you think about it. Remember, for all of you out there who don't know, there are 1.2 billion or thereabout Catholics in the world. And this is a big deal. I hope, even if they've watered this down, my hope is that there will be a resistance, an open resistance to it, a rejection of it, strong verbal rejection of it in the strongest terms. I hope Archbishop Vigano and others perhaps will join you in making this absolutely a non-starter. No more incrementalism. They can't be allowed to get through the door with this stuff, in my view. It's got to stop. The word has to come out, no, or the church is going to end up in a schism. It's going to be fractured. This is not going to float. This trial balloon is not going to rise up. It's going to fail.
There is going to be this break, this split in the church, but it will be of such a nature that the United Nations, that the Western powers, the governments, together, they will remain aligned with the Bergoglian Church. They will recognize the Bergoglian Church, so that the recognizable true Catholic Church, what is it, the historical Catholic Church of all time, that will be resisting this revolution, that will be condemned by the powers that be.
Well, it will be interesting to see how the powers that be accept this document and endorse it, or if they're going to stay back on the sidelines further. If they openly and overtly react to it and respond to it, I would suggest that might mean that they're sensing, and they have spies and people everywhere, that there is going to be a reaction that they don't want. We'll see. The geopolitical response to this document will be very, very much worth watching. And by the way, for all of you out there, I know without knowing directly that Father Kramer's words are being listened to very carefully in the Vatican. I'm sure of it. This is a big platform. These people cannot be allowed to get away with this. It's got to stop. And that's me talking, not speaking for Father Kramer. Go ahead, please.
Once the various assorted points of this anti-Christian agenda are adopted and promulgated by the Vatican, then you will have the United Nations and you will have the governments, especially the Western governments, they will issue decrees and legislation that anything that is contrary to that agenda will be labeled as hate speech, as hate crime. That's what they
intended. Oh, good point. Exactly. Good point. Right. You got it. That's their game, friends. They're going to play it right on out. Wow.
They want to completely outlaw freedom of speech and freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm. How about freedom, period?
Well, that's largely abolished by eliminating freedom of speech and the freedom
Understood.
Of religion.
I'm being somewhat facetious.
You canceled out all freedom that way.
I know they have meetings constantly, probably working on this, and I would suggest that there are international Western governments involved geopolitically with the planning. This what's going to come on Monday, however it appears, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever the document format, this is not just something that the Vatican is cooked up. You have to look beyond the Vatican. World Economic Forum, it's all part of the same matrix of satanic power that is running this planet. So this is going to be big. Sorry, go ahead.
It is a satanic power, and it is Freemasonry that is behind the scenes directing this revolution that is taking over the world. And this is the very heart of the third secret of Fatima, that these satanic powers will take over the governments of the world, that they will control a high finance and the movement of capital goods. They will gain monopoly power over economies and over currencies. This is the
That's
third secret
after.
Of Fatima.
That, well, the third secret is obviously staged and ready to deliver on what it says. And of all people alive today, you are the foremost authority on the third secret of Fatima. You know. And so it's playing out. Are they trying to push this through before Francis checks out? They're going to have to go through the procedure of appointing a new pope and so forth. Is there any time constraint on this whole issue to get it done?
Yes. This is the problem they have in the Vatican. Incrementalism is their modus operandi. They have been like we say in football. If you run a play and it works, you keep running it over and over again, and that's what the Vatican has been doing. Through this incrementalism, running the ball 5 yards here, 7 yards there, just keep moving the ball forward. But if the clock is running out, then you've got to drop back and throw the bomb and go for the touchdown pass,
right?
Because you're going to run out of time, and incrementalism won't work when there's a time limit, and that's what they're faced with now, because Bergoglio does not have that much time left. His synod is being extended. That after the last, after the final session of the synod in October, for the implementation of the synod, they still want to extend the synod even beyond that. And in order to do that, they need Bergoglio to be alive and functioning, and we can't be certain that he's going to be alive and functioning even the day after tomorrow.
Right, right. That's why I said that. It seems like it. Yes.
Bergoglio did say to the former Jesuit Superior General, Father Adolfo Nicolás, about 10 years ago when he was in Manila, that he did not want to depart from the scene until after his reforms have become irreversible.
Uh-huh. Okay. There it is. I'm wondering if they're going to, in this expected announcement Monday or whenever it happens, if they're going to build into this new set of guidelines. These are utterly revolutionary to the church, friends. If you're not Catholic, that's fine. But no, this is a massive turnaround in the wrong direction. The church has been going in the right direction for a long time. Always get pushed off course, pope to pope, occasionally. But this is a revision. This is utter revisionist stuff. I wonder if they're going to build in any kind of a threat. If you don't go along with this, members of the church, this is what's going to happen. You're no longer going to be sanctified, certified as a real Catholic. Are they going to do anything to try to scare people into conformity with this? How's that going to be played? Any guesses?
Well, they've been doing this rather regularly, even with decree on the blessing of homosexual unions.
Big giveaway. Yeah.
Fernandez has come out with the approval of Bergoglio. Fernandez is coming out with statements and decrees saying that this is obligatory and that no one may resist it.
Mm-hmm. Fernandez is the he's the muscle. He's the enforcer, sounds like.
Yeah.
Is Fernandez possibly on the deck in terms of succeeding Francis the fraud? Could it be Fernandez?
It's coming up. He's a possible successor.
The feast of Saint Joseph the Worker is on May 1st. And was instituted by the Catholic Church in 1955. May 1st is also the Communists' International Workers' Day. That started in 1904. So why, is the question, would the Catholic Church create a feast day of St. Joseph the Worker on the exact same day as the already existing Communist International Workers' Day? In 1955, when St. Joseph the Worker Feast Day was started, also started was the changes to the Holy Week by Pope Pius XII's Maxima Redemptionis, if I'm saying that right. My Latin isn't very good. On November the 16th, 1955, those Holy Week changes led to changing the Latin Mass into the Novus Ordo Mass, and other changes indicating the satanic communist takeover of the Catholic Church was completed. Why would Pope Pius XII do these things, both of them? That's the question.
There's a different reason for both of these things. As far as the changes in the Holy Week, Pius XII, as he was getting older, there was a group in the Vatican surrounding him that seemed to manipulate him. And he was prone to their suggestions.
Okay.
And they introduced an individual named Annibale Bonini, and he was the one behind the remodeling of the Holy Week liturgy. And this is the infamous Bonini, who drew up the Novus Ordo after the death of Pius XII during the time of Paul VI. And when it was discovered that that Bonini was a Freemason, at the instigation of Cardinal Benelli, Bonini was sent out to be apostolic nuncio to Iran to get him out of the Vatican.
Iran. Interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. He died out there in the company of the Ayatollah Khomeini, as it were.
Wow.
In that the world, that explains that. That's basically what happened with the Holy Week liturgy. To get them, that group that surrounded Pius XII in his old age, they were the ones who suggested and brought in Bonini, the man who basically got this revolution in the revolutionary liturgy of the Novus Ordo to be implemented and to be promulgated under Paul VI. But the changing of the Feast of St. Joseph is another thing entirely. Pius XII was at the end of the Second World War. There was a very real danger of a communist revolution in Italy. Pius XII, through his holy office, had issued a decree saying that anyone who votes communist commits a mortal sin. Pius XII and the Italian hierarchy, they were very much afraid of a communist revolution being successful in Italy after the Second World War, that Italy would become a communist country.
Uh-huh.
And so to offset the great communist celebration of May the 1st, Pius XII instituted the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker to put the idea of making the celebration of the holiday for the workers to be not something communist and Marxist and Bolshevik, but to approach it from a Christian standpoint,
and to give
this was the rationale of Pius XII, and it may have had some justification at that time, but I think it has long since outlived its usefulness. The Feast of St. Joseph that was replaced was of a much higher dignity than the idea of St. Joseph the Worker. It was St. Joseph, the patron of the Universal Church.
I like Saint that Joseph expression, has, much higher dignity. That makes sense, understood.
Yes. So the Feast of St. Joseph, the previous Feast of St. Joseph, was a feast with a much higher dignity. The Feast of St. Joseph, the spouse of the Virgin Mary and the patron of the Universal Church. And that, I think it's high time that feast has to be brought back and St. Joseph the Worker has to be phased out.
Got it.
I've been
interesting,
saying this for a long time.
Interesting that the same day, International Workers' Day and that original St. Joseph the Worker, May 1st, May Day. Interesting. Yeah. Italy has... Go ahead.
Yeah, because the feast had the feast of Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, was not on the 1st of May. It was under Pius the 11th, if I remember correct, sometime in the 20th century. Right. It was put on. I think on the. On a Wednesday after I think the. On the Wednesday after the third Sunday after Easter or something like that. Whereas I've got an older missal. I have an 1873 Roman missal, and it's the third Sunday after Easter is the Feast of St. Joseph. During the 1800s, that was when the Feast of St. Joseph was held, on the third Sunday after Easter. So,
very good.
Under Pius the 12th, they changed the name of the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker and put it on May the 1st.
I wonder how they picked that day.
Well, it was done deliberately to put a Christian spin on the idea of
workers. On the Communist Workers' Day. They were trying to obviously smear it.
From the Catholic idea of a worker of the Catholic Workers' Day, rather than the Communist Workers' Day.
Right.
Pius XII's motivation was that.
Uh-huh. Okay. We'll give him credit for that, right? That's a good move. It seems to me that Italy has been suffering terribly politically for a long time. I don't know how many different governments have been brought together, coalition governments, deals made, governments, all kinds of different. Italy has been... I don't know. It's just never recovered. And I'm not saying anything positive about Mussolini, but Italy was strong under Mussolini, as would be expected under any strong man like that. But since World War II, how many different governments has Italy had? I think it's probably 75 or some crazy number.
Well, at least that. I have lost count myself. I couldn't tell you how many governments they've had. I mean, they've even the post-war republic fell, and they had to come out with to reconstitute the Italian republic with a new constitution, replacing what was there after the Second World War.
I have the answer, Father Kramer. Since the end of World War II in 1945, Italy has had 69 governments at an average of one every 1.1 years. So there's a lot of change. How does the church look back? Since I mentioned Mussolini, how does the church look back on Italy under Mussolini during those in the late 30s, middle 30s? What do you say? They say he made the trains run on time and all that. What is Mussolini's reputation as it would be passed through the church?
Well, Mussolini made the treaty with the Vatican under Pope Pius the 11th, guaranteeing that the Catholic religion would be taught in the schools. What had been institutionalized in Italian life under the influence of the Church was given the constitutional legal protection under Mussolini's treaty with the Vatican. And, of course, piece by piece, that's been dismantled.
Right.
through the malevolent operation of both secular Freemasonry in the Italian state and the ecclesiastical Freemasonry in the Vatican, so much so that you had ecclesiastical Masonry approving of the repeal of the divorce laws, which have completely undermined family life in Italy. As I recall, it was Cardinal Jean Viaud who was in favor of repealing the divorce laws, whereas divorce was not allowed in Italy. Mm-hmm. And here was the Cardinal Secretary of State who was in favor of repealing those laws and bringing in divorce, which of course led to the disintegration of the family in Italy.
Very good. All right. Well, that pretty well answers
The entire social disintegration has been completed with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was the Vatican that worked hand in hand with the Freemasonry and the state to bring about that.
Got it.
Undoing what had been accomplished with the treaty between Mussolini and the Vatican.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. If you just joined us, we've got about 10 minutes left, 9 minutes. We want to revisit the early part of the program, and that is Father Kramer's announcement that there is going to be a release of a new general church doctrine, maybe on Monday, which changes the entire bedrock foundation of the Catholic Church in terms of making it now a church of nature. God and the universe are going to be melded together as one, and other very important things which remain to be spelled out in detail. This is going to be a very interesting, it could be, I think it has to be considered at this point, Father Kramer, more than just a trial balloon. I think they've been playing that game for some time. This is going to be a major event. I don't care if they label it just another daily newspaper edition, because there are people like you, with all of your knowledge and wisdom, are going to be all over this thing. And maybe we should have you back. Well, you'll be back very soon anyway for another visit. But I'd like to know exactly what happens with this. So go ahead and recap that again for our listeners who might have tuned in a little late.
I don't think that they're going to come out with the decreeing the full agenda in one shot.
Okay.
I think that was the PSYOP aspect of the leaked document that went to the religious orders, to the Franciscans, Dominicans, and such.
Right.
That was the PSYOP aspect of it, which in fact lays bare what is the Bergoglian agenda and the Bergoglian Vatican's agenda for this revolution in the Catholic Church that they've been working on for the last 11 years. I think it's going to be one very important and sufficiently radical so-called reform.
Uh-huh. So-called reform.
It's going to be a break with Catholicism. But they're going to try to couch it in such with such camouflage that it won't appear to be as revolutionary as it is to the undiscerning mind.
Well, that's where you come in, and a few others. We'll rely on you to take this apart and digest it and give us back the reality of what's being done. This is at least a 90-degree change in the foundational direction of the church, if not 180. It's 90 anyway. This is a big thing. And to watch the language that's going to be used, I'll bet they've rewritten it dozens of times, the whole approach. They're being every word I would suggest in this document, whenever it's released, will have been chosen and selected with the utmost care and foresight as far as the enemy is concerned. And these are the enemy. Don't forget that.
They always follow the dictum, divide and conquer. So what they want to do is introduce the change in such a way that it will not provoke a unified, massive opposition, but it will stir up controversy, and everyone is going to be up in arms and against each other. Those who are for and those who are against, those who are going to say, well, it's not so radical after all. Others are going to say, no, it is that. It is a complete break with Catholicism. And have them fight between each other, not against Bergoglio's Vatican, but have them debate with each other.
Of course, yeah. That's actually a fairly shrewd move to try to pull off, one way to try to disarm the opposition. I would like to see a major explosion, frankly, in the rank and file of the Catholic Church. That's because this is a huge, if this comes out the way you've been spelling it out here, and your sources are very good, this is going to be a huge deal. I don't care how they try to phrase it. They're not going to get away with it. This is big. It's one of the biggest things it's 2,000 years big. Think about it.
There will be a reaction, no doubt. No matter how they try to minimalize the radical change that they're going to be introducing, there will be a reaction.
Well, I'm all for it. I'm not a Catholic, but I am disgusted by what's going on. And what I've learned from Father Kramer and a couple of others, this is really part of the New World Order being put right in the faces of the people. And they are going to try and cram it down the throats of 1.2 billion people. It can't be allowed to happen. It cannot. No.
They intend to bring about their so-called reforms by institutionalizing the New World Order, the UN Agenda 2030 in the church.
Right.
So that once the Vatican's counterfeit church recognizes point by point the agenda of the New World Order, then church and state will be working together to outlaw any opposition to it.
Or you'll be excommunicated, right?
You'll be excommunicated by the church, and you'll be arrested and charged by the state.
They're actually going to go that far, or try to. I wouldn't be surprised. No, I wouldn't.
Well, things are moving in this direction. As, for example, in France, you can't speak against the bioweapons now. The one that they call vaccine. You're not allowed to speak against that. You can go to jail for that now.
I don't know that I've seen that. I'm not surprised. I saw something similar, but that's so it's a completely verboten subject, conversationally, etc. They probably are calling it hate speech, too, of some kind. This is crazy. It's nuts. Completely. Well, Macron is, one of their Schwab's, what does he call them, new global leaders or something like that? Young global leaders? I don't know. He's pushing hard for World War III. That's as plain as day. He's a nuclear power. He's going to try and take on the Russians. This whole thing is really on the edge of. It could be World War III thermonuclear. It could be World War III, at least starting out traditionally. What does Father Kramer think about the odds for a major nuclear war here?
Well, we're on the verge of nuclear war now because the attack in Russia that the secular media is presenting as the work of ISIS.
Completely wrong. Yeah.
It was the so-called Ukrainian government. It was the Zelensky regime that was behind that.
which does nothing of that nature or that stature, if stature is the right word, without the okay of the U.S. and the U.K. They're not going to do it on their own.
The U.S. and the U.K. were behind it.
Of course they were. Yeah.
And the corporate media of the West are telling us that this was ISIS. This is rubbish.
No,
it's nonsense.
It's insulting. This is stupid.
It's just like the Soviet press. I remember there was a Soviet defector, a Russian by the name of he was a KGB captain. His name was Alexander Sakharov.
Oh yeah, I remember the name. Sure.
There was Andrei Sakharov was a famous dissident, but this was another one not so famous. He was a KGB captain, Alexander Sakharov.
Maybe it was I remember. Okay. Go ahead.
Said about that they didn't really understand his family background well enough. Otherwise, they might not have put him in a high position in the KGB because he became a defector. And if they had looked at I think it was his father or his grandfather, mm-hmm. who would be saying, the Soviet press is, and he used the word, excrement, mm-hmm. but he didn't use the polite term.
Understood.
That was the family background. This man, his father and grandfather, they had been in the Soviet government, but they were thoroughly of a mind against this inverted false rubbish garbage
propaganda,
this false, all the lies that were being fed to the people through the Soviet press.
Not nonstop. Father Kramer, we have to wrap it up. We're late. Thank you for that. I'll be watching for Monday, perhaps, whenever. And please keep me posted as you're able to.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Excellent information. All right. Father Paul Kramer, thank you for being here. Have a good, safe weekend. Do make plans. Things are getting worse. They're not getting better. I don't like saying that, but I will never lie. Talk soon. Take care.